Today we are going to be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 1 to 11. So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 1 to 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comforts too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were utterly burdened beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many. This is the word of the Lord, and together we say, praise be to God.
Father, we thank you for your word, that your word brings life and healing and joy, but also comfort. And we need to have our hearts comforted this morning. And so we pray that you would quieten our hearts to listen to what you have to say so that your word can bring us comfort. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. People say, don't you feel like you've woken up on the set of an apocalyptic movie? Now, I didn't feel it until this week when I went down to the shops and I saw the empty shelves, when I walked out into the empty streets, when I listened to the eerie quietness of our suburb and things are shutting down, businesses are shutting down, there's lockdowns, there's border controls, we're becoming more and more distant from each other. And I felt it this week. I felt a real sense of sadness, knowing that on Sunday, I'd be standing up here and speaking to an empty room, pretending that you're all here. There's a deep sadness about that. I went to a wedding this week, sign of the times. I went to a wedding, and an hour before the wedding, I realized that the wedding had been rushed forward to last Wednesday, and I was to be one of the groomsmen. It's a good thing I found out about it. But see, that's the crazy new world that we're living in, where weddings are being rushed forward, things are shutting down, and fear is growing. There's the fear of catching the virus. There's the fear of someone elderly in your family catching the virus. There's the fear of using new technology. And the difficult thing is that there's no end in sight. I mean, who can predict how long this is going to go on for? Isn't it a good thing? Isn't it a great thing that one of the characteristics of God that is spoken of in the Bible is that he is the God of all comfort? And we need comfort right now, don't we? We're turning to things for comfort. You know, we're in the comfort of our own homes. There's comfort eating, there's comfort lounges, there's comfort TV, there's comfortable pajamas. You know, you can just change your top and be in your pajamas for all day because no one will see what's below the computer screen when you Zoom with them. I've got jeans on right now, just so you know, okay? All right, but what we as a church need right now is we need comfort. That's what we need to be reminded about God at this time. Last week, we were reminded that God is our Father who loves us and values us and provides for us, and we are to seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. This week, we're going to focus on another aspect of God that's spoken of in Scripture, and that is that He is the God of all comfort. Now, we're looking at a passage in a letter called 2 Corinthians. It's written by the Apostle Paul around 55 AD, and here's how it starts. If you've got a Bible, open it to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, and we read these words. Paul, an apostle, by Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all his holy people through Achaia. Here's what this letter is about. It's about God's apostle, someone who has been handpicked by God to represent Jesus, it happens by the will of God, and he is to go and write to a church in Corinth. And then what Paul does in this letter is that 10 times in 5 verses, he mentions this word comfort. Comfort, 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 comfort. And this is the place, more than any other place in the Bible, where the Bible speaks about comfort. The word comfort is the same word that sometimes gets translated as encouragement. See, comfort is not there, let me give you a socially distant hug. All right, that's not what comfort is, especially not at the moment. But comfort means the encouragement to go on. It means being able to get stronger and stronger at a time when things are difficult. It means the strength to face the future. See, how can you, in this day and age, how can you go on with joy and hope and strength? That's what the Bible means by comfort. And this passage is going to teach us 3 things about comfort. It's going to teach us why we need comfort. It's going to teach us where we get comfort, and it's going to tell us what happens when we get comfort. Why we need it, where we get it, what happens next. All right, so first, why do we need comfort? And you don't have to be Einstein to work out that we need comfort because of suffering and pain. Look at verse 2 where Paul greets the Corinthians with this standard Christian greeting. Verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Standard Christian greeting. And usually when Paul writes his letters, what he says next is he thanks God for something about that church. He picks something about the church that he writes to, and he thanks God for them. So when he writes to the Philippians, he says, I thank God for your partnership in the gospel. When he writes to the Colossians, he says, I thank God for your faith and your love. In his first letter to the Corinthians, he says, I thank God for all the gifts that God has given you. It's always thank you, thank you, thank you. But not this time. Not in 2 Corinthians. This time he breaks the pattern. Look at verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. See, as I say, normally he picks something about that church and he thanks God for something about that church. But what does he do here? No, he is thankful for the comfort that he gets in his troubles. He's drawing attention to his own suffering and his own need for comfort. This is so not like Paul to talk about himself. But in this letter, more than any other letter that Paul writes, he openly speaks about the troubles that he has. Look at verse 8, for example. He says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles that we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. Do you see what Paul's saying? We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. You know, it's as though he feels like a donkey carrying, you know, those donkeys that carry the big loads on their back, and they feel like they're under so much pressure. That's Paul. He's saying, I can't go on my own. I need help. He says, we despaired of life itself. He's saying that the only exit door that I can see is a door that has death on it. There's no hope of survival. In fact, he says, we felt we had received the sentence of death. It's already here. I feel as though I'm a dead man walking. I feel like this is the end. That's how Paul feels. Now, I've got to say, there's a sense in which Paul's suffering is different to what we're going through, right? We're going through the suffering of being in a broken world. But Paul is suffering for the Lord Jesus Christ. His suffering is more particular. He's suffering because he speaks the message of Jesus, and people have rejected Jesus and rejected his message and have so rejected him. And he feels it. And he feels it emotionally. He feels it physically through persecution and pain. But he's also in danger of being rejected by the very church that he's writing to. His suffering is different from ours. But isn't what he's saying sound so familiar to what we feel? How are you feeling at the moment? I mean, really, in the comfort of your home, what's going on in your heart? You feel like you're under great pressure. You feel like you're despairing of life. Do you feel as though you're about to receive the death sentence? Maybe it is that you feel overwhelmed. It could be that you feel depressed. Maybe it is that you feel like you've got financial worry and burden. And maybe the thought of not seeing your family face to face, not FaceTime, but face to face, not seeing your family just feels so overwhelming to you at the moment. And you feel like you've just hit that brick wall. I want to say to us as a church that now is the time for us to be grieving, because we've lost something. Our society has lost face-to-face contact. Us as a church, we've lost the joy of being together in the one place. This is the next best thing, being online. And it's a time for us to cry. And I want to say it's okay to cry at this time. It's okay to be sad. Because what we really need to do is we need to have some time to process what's happening at the moment. The things that are happening in our world. Because let me tell you, this isn't going to just go away in a few days' time. We're going to take a long time to process these things that are happening. This has taken all of us by surprise. What we're going through is a defining moment in the history of our world. And it could change our lives forever in ways that we don't yet understand. So this is a time for grief. This is a time for sorrow. And it's a time for us to go before our Heavenly Father and to fall before Him on our knees and to say to Him, Father, I need your comfort. That's the time we're in. I need your comfort. Go to God with your sorrow. Go to Him with your grief and admit that to Him. That's why we need comfort. But how do we get it? How do we get this comfort? Here's the second point. See, the reason why Paul talks so much about his sorrows is because he wants to talk so much about the God who brings comfort. Look at verse 3. He says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. I love how God's described here. We're told that our God is the Father of compassion. You know what that means? That means that God loves showing His concern, His kindness, whenever we need help. It's the same description that God gave Moses when Moses was on Mount Sinai in Exodus 33, when God told Moses, I'm the gracious and compassionate God. That's who our God is. That's what kind of Father He is. It's within His character to always show compassion and mercy When we can't help ourselves, when we're helpless, our God loves stepping in and saying to us, I've got this. I'll help you. That's who our God is. It's his very nature to show compassion. But he is also, he's not just the Father of compassion, he's the God of all comfort. See those words? The God of all comfort. He's not just the God of some comfort, he's the God of all comfort. There is no comfort that you get in this world apart from the God of heaven and earth. See, our God is not cold and detached. Our God is concerned when we're in pain. He acts to give us comfort. He's the source of all comfort. And what that means, whenever you see people giving comfort to other people in this world, you can bet your bottom dollar that this has come from the God of all comfort. So, whenever you see medical staff attending to the beds of people who have coronavirus, whenever you see people opening up their wallets to give out money to people who are in financial woe, whenever you see people working around the clock to come up with a vaccine, you know what you're seeing? You are seeing an expression of the comfort of God. He is the God of all comfort. It comes from him. All comfort in this world has its source in God. But there's a special way in which our God has comforted us. There's a particular way in which our God comforts believers. You know where the real comfort comes from? The real comfort, the greatest comfort of all, comes through a person. Look at verse 5. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. I love that word, abounds. You know, the comfort that God brings to us, it abounds, it overflows through Jesus Christ. Jesus is the channel from whom comfort flows. That's the real comfort. Why is Jesus the real comfort? Let me tell you. You know your greatest failure in life? Your greatest failure is not that you forgot to wash your hands and you touched your face. It's not that you forgot to cough into your elbow. You know what your greatest and my greatest failure is? It's that you and I have offended a holy God by the way we've lived our lives. We've angered him and we deserve to die. That's our greatest failure. But in Jesus Christ, our greatest failure has been undone. Because Jesus came to undo our greatest failure. Because what he did is he died the death that you and I deserve to die. And after that, after he died, 3 days later, he rose again and he walked out of that tomb so that one day you can walk out of your tomb as well. That's where the real comfort comes from. It's that your greatest failure has been undone, that you have peace with God, and that death no longer has to have a hold over you. It can't touch you. Now let me ask you, and anyone who's listening this morning or this evening, whenever you're listening, do you have that comfort? Do you have the comfort of knowing that your sins are forgiven? Do you have the comfort of knowing that you have peace with God? Can you say at the moment that everything between you and God is good? And God's got you and you're close to him. Can you say that? And if you're sitting there and you're searching for something because you've discovered, hey, life, I've realized life is actually empty. I've got no peace, no satisfaction, no joy. If that's you, please realize that what God wants to offer you is the comfort of peace, the comfort of joy, and the comfort of satisfaction that can only be found by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one from whom comfort abounds. He's the only one that gives you the overflowing comfort. Comfort comes from Jesus. He's undone your greatest failure and he's raised Christ from the dead and nothing can touch you. Do you know what that means? If God has given you this comfort in Jesus, he can use anything to comfort you. If he's done the comfort in this greatest way, he can do comfort in many, many little small ways. God can use any means to comfort us. He can use that person who rings you up on the phone out of the blue, who you just need a connection with, and just checking in on you, but it brings you so much comfort. Through Jesus Christ, you and I can be a comfort to each other. We need each other at a time like this, don't we? This is how Paul describes God in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 6. He says, I love this description, but he says, God who comforts the downcast. That's our God. You're feeling downcast? He's the one who brings you comfort. And so if you're looking for comfort, if you're in despair, if you're broken, you need to go to only one place. You need to run to your Heavenly Father, the Father of compassion, the God of all comfort, because He would love to shower you with His comfort. That's who He is. That's what He wants to do. So run to Him. That's where you get comfort. And so what happens when we get this comfort? What happens when we get it? It comforts others, it deepens trust, and it increases praise. What happens when we get this comfort? It comforts others. Look at verse 4. Who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Paul says, when we get comfort from God, you know what happens? We become comforters. We can comfort others. Or look at verse 6. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort that produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. Now, again, Paul's suffering for Christ and he's saying, I'm taking a message about Jesus, the gospel to the world, and some people will reject and I suffer, but those who receive this message, they get the comfort that comes from God. But, you know, Paul's saying, because I've been through this suffering, the suffering I go through, I can use what I've learned about God to comfort you as well. I can say that God is good and strong and trustworthy, and because He got me through this, He can get you through this as well. See, Paul's saying, my comfort is actually for your sake. It's a basic principle of life, actually, that God comforts us so that we will be a comfort to others. What happens when you get comfort from God? You get new insights into who God is and new insights into His love and into what He will do for you. And God does that so you can turn around and be a comfort to others. Do you know our regional bishop, Ivan Lee, died recently from cancer? Here's one thing he said before he died. He said, one of the phrases I use is that I know a lot of us are afraid of death. Even as a Christian, it's not something we look forward to. But let me encourage you that I really believe that if I can get through this, you can too. And it's not because I'm such a strong Christian. It's that I put my trust in a strong God, and we can all do that. See, Ivan, as he was dying of cancer, he wanted people to know that because he can get through this, you can get through this as well. Why? Because he believed in a strong God. It wasn't because of himself. It wasn't because he felt like he was a strong Christian. No, he had put his trust in a strong God. See, what Ivan wanted to do was, because he was suffering, he wanted to use the comfort that he had received from God to be a comforter and share the new insights, the new things that he'd learned about God. My God is strong, and I want you to know that your God is strong too, and you can find comfort during this time. Now, none of us have been through a coronavirus pandemic before. Right? This is a first for all of us, last time I checked. All right? There's a sense in which, though, all of us are in this together. We're experiencing the same trials, the same suffering at the same time. And you know what that should do to God's people? It should bring us together. It should bring us together. And that's why it's so important that at this time that we as a church, even though we're socially isolated, It's so important that we're not isolated as a church. That's why I'd like, as I've said in emails, that I'd like us to form into prayer triplets, where once a week we're in touch with each other and we're saying, hey, what can I pray for you this week? And here's a verse that God has used to speak to me this week. And here's something that I'm thankful for. And let's pray for our world at the moment. Can you do that? Can you think about doing that? I'll share more about that in this coming week. But God's people desperately need each other at a time like this. We need to comfort each other with the comfort that we ourselves have received from God. So let's do that. Let's use, you know, the things that God has given us, the things like Zoom and Hangouts and Messenger and Skype. And if those words scare you, just pick up the telephone, okay? Don't be so old-fashioned that we can't do that. And let's comfort each other in our troubles. God comforts us to make comforters. But see, when we get comfort, you know what else happens? It also deepens trust. Look at verse 9. Indeed, we felt, says Paul, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened, why? That we might rely not upon ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. See, in this pandemic, we keep thinking we can do it ourselves. We can come up with a vaccine. We can build enough ventilators. We can come up with enough hospital beds. But often what happens is that God brings things our way to teach us something very important, that we can't rely upon ourselves, but we look to Him who raises the dead. We learn this from experience. You know, we can read the Bible and we can see that it says that God is the God of all comfort, and we close our Bibles and we walk away. But then something bad happens. And you know what happens next? It brings us to our knees and it causes us to cry out in faith. And it's then that our heart changes and we experience the help that comes from God. And that's when we realize, why did I doubt Him? Why did I doubt Him? This is the God who can raise the dead. I shouldn't have doubted Him. And that's when trust comes burning deep into our heart. You know, Ivan Lee's wife, Virginia, she was asked how she will cope after Ivan goes. Here's what she said. She said, I'll be a total mess, but I'll be a total mess with God right in there with me, strengthening me and growing me and continuing to learn how deep His love is and that it's enough to cover everything. Do you see how what Ivan's cancer did to her own trust? It deepened her trust. She learnt how deep His love is. She learnt that this is the God who is with us in the mess. You see, if you get over your pain quickly and you just, you know, move on, then your heart doesn't really learn how to trust God. But when the pain is long and prolonged and tiring and deep, you know what that does to your heart? It turns your heart into something beautiful. It turns your heart into a heart that is more capable of trusting in God. Comfort deepens trust. And finally, what happens next when we get comforted? It increases thanks to God. Look at verse 10. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. See, comfort means that many people will be praising God. It brings many people to a point where we're thanking God. Won't it be a great day when we are finally together in one place in this building, thanking God that we're together, thanking God for an end to the pandemic? That will be a great day. Comfort increases thanks. Friends, let me finish by asking you a question. What kind of God do you believe in? Really, what kind of God do you believe in? Do you believe in a God who brings you no pain? Because if that's the God that you believe in, then he can't be the God of all comfort, because you actually need pain to experience comfort. Or do you believe in a God who promises to be with you during the pain and comfort you, so that during the comfort you know more of his compassion, more of his mercy, more of his tenderness for you, and you can trust him more, and you can have new insights into his love, new insights into his strength for you and his love for you, and then what you can do is you can turn around and you can comfort others and you can give thanks to him. He's the God of all comfort. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you give life in death, and you give joy in suffering. You give peace under trial. You give healing in sickness. Comfort us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.